is fascinating to me is how many mothers, predominantly I'm seeing it with young-ish families, sort of maybe preteen kids, are being diagnosed at the moment. Am I right in that that feels like an explosion of women and mothers in particular getting diagnosed? Why do you think that is?
Well, I suppose these mothers, I'm just maybe presuming here, because the reason that they didn't know that they have ADHD themselves for so long is because society was catching up with our understanding. But then because we're seeing more children being diagnosed with a neurodevelopmental condition because they are struggling through transition, you know, and this transition, if you're saying preteen, you know, there's a hormonal kind of transition there when they go into puberty, but also going from primary to secondary school. And once they get in there, it's a whole different ballgame, isn't it? From primary to secondary. And they struggle to do the things that they are expected to be independent to do, you know, because the brain development of a child with ADHD is 3 to 5 years delayed, you know, compared to their peers without ADHD. So it's not just the whole part of the brain, it's the part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex that regulates the executive functioning. This is your brain control center that does the day-to-day things like organizing, delegating, and time management. Time blindness is it's a problem for children and adults with ADHD. And so the mothers are quite overwhelmed, you know, having to support their children. And then their children goes for the assessment, if they're lucky enough to go through the assessment, because a lot of the children get actually turned away if their cases aren't serious enough. But when they do go to the assessment, they'll notice that a lot of the traits, you know, you'll be interviewed as well as a parent. And you will see what were the traits, you know, that they use to assess your child. And so these traits, you would recognize them in yourself. A lot of women say that to me. But also, yeah, that's when the penny drops. I think some of the adults, the mothers who've been diagnosed with ADHD, they tell me that psychiatrists tell them the apple don't fall far from the tree. You know, and ADHD is genetically inherited. It's through the bloodline. You don't get it out of thin air. So, you know, that's when it starts to connect. But also, like I've said before, ADHD in women doesn't look completely the same as ADHD in men or boys.
Just on that point, so ADHD is genetically inherited. What role does generational and societal trauma play in that? Can you have a predisposition to ADHD but not develop it if you don't go through particular traumas? How does that work?
I believe that. I see a cross-section of women who have differences in the spectrum in which they show their ADHD traits. And you are right. Genes load the gun. It's the environment that pulls the trigger. And the reason for that is because we are passing down, you know, a host of genes, not just one or two that they've identified. But there are a lot of like the dopamine reuptake receptor genes and also the anti-inflammatory genes, you know, because like, you see a lot of inflammatory markers that get passed down. And Gabor Mate talks about the origin of this, which is stress and trauma, which marks our genes and, you know, it can be passed down to family generations. So epigenetics can mark your gene and get retained in your bloodline for 2 generations. And I think that's why we can express some of the challenges that maybe our grandmothers were going through. It's not like anyone's done a 2-generation study, but we're pulling together different interconnected threads, you know, about genes, epigenetics, our environment. And trauma is anything that happens to us where we have a moment of not understanding what's going on and dysregulations going on within us. You know, it can be small T or big T, small trauma, big trauma, CPTSD, complex post-traumatic stress disorder. There are things that are happening in families due to undiagnosed neurodivergence. There's a lot of things that will be answered by people's propensity to look for dopamine hits and self-medicating. And this comes in various ways, like whether it's like starting businesses, you know, and stopping businesses when you don't feel the passion or the thrill anymore. It's a lot of thrill seeking, exploration, and alcohol. It's destroyed families, drugs, and affairs. You know, these are things that, you know, they aren't a good way to look for that dopamine hit, but people do not really know better when they don't understand themselves. It's hard.
Yeah, it's really hard. And it gives so much compassion and understanding, doesn't it? That I think as a society, we just don't have. And it makes sense to me, you know, that so many mothers like you, actually, you know, just welcoming in your second baby, would start to question this. Because if we talk about environment, surely there's not a time in a woman's life when she's more exhausted, the mental and emotional load is higher, you know, particularly if we think about pandemic. And I know that was your experience, but now in a post-pandemic world, still, I think, trying to figure out and get our feet back from that awful lockdown and homeschooling, it makes sense to me that given that environment, so many mothers would start to question if they are neurodiverse. Is that what you see as well?
Absolutely. You know, I talk a lot about how fulfilling gender roles in society has caused us the overwhelm, and therefore we manifest our ADHD in the way that we do. A lot of it is emotional dysregulation. You know, and so many of us ADHDers are also autistic. And when we get to a certain age, there is one thing that gets compounded, and that's sensory processing disorder. Because we get more sensory overwhelmed the older we get, you know, because everything is connected. Nothing exists in isolation. Because ADHD is impacted by hormones and autism as well. But then when we get to a certain age, when we get perimenopausal, lack of certain nutrients in our body can cause sensory challenges. Like, I know that now, you know, things can become that much brighter, that much louder. And we don't want to be touched as much as we did before. And that becomes a problem when you have small children climbing all over you. You know, that can be hard.
I think with that sensory processing, that's something that I relate to. And I think it's something that I see a lot, is just mothers saying, every mother actually that I know has said, I just want to lie down in a dark room. Something that I'm so curious about is, how does someone listening to this thinking, well, I completely relate to a lot of the characteristics that Sam's talked about, how does someone know whether it's just the intensity of motherhood, of fast-paced modern life, of the mental load? Like, I am crazy forgetful, but I think that's because I don't actually think I have ADHD. I think it's because my mental load is just so high, the things that I'm holding on to. So I walk into a room and I forget why I'm there. I forget, but I don't think that's a neurodivergence in my brain. I don't think my brain is wired differently. I think it's just how much I'm holding. So how does someone differentiate between being neurodivergent and just being an overwhelmed mum? You know, the crazy way that we mother today.
You're completely right. Being overwhelmed as a mother and reaching a certain age can look a lot like neurodivergence, you know, and ADHD. But in order for you to be diagnosed with ADHD, the impairments would have had to exist before the age of 12. So you would have to have always felt like you're different. And a lot of us who are wouldn't know that, because we never fitted in, you know, and we knew that we had to try that much harder to try and look like other people, you know, and a lot of us call this masking or coping. That is something that you're always aware, you know, especially when you're autistic. Like, you look at the world through systems. You don't just look at it like any other people. And you start to talk a bit like a philosopher sometimes, you know, but that's a very specific type of autistic person. So yeah, it has to exist before the age of 12. And these impairments have had to happen to all areas of your life, your work, your relationships, your studies. I suppose now, yeah, so they look for symptoms of impulsivity, hyperactivity, and ADHD. Sometimes my brain doesn't click. It's like, you know, hello, you know, are you there? But yeah, there are a lot of criteria, you know, that people look at. But then to get to them, you need a psychiatrist who understands and asks the right questions. So there are more than just the three traits, you know, hyperactive, impulsive, and inattentive. There are also emotional dysregulation that women would know if you have it, because it's literally you go from 0 to 100. Your emotional flooding happens in an instant. And then, you know, maybe within 10, 15 minutes, you go back to normal and act like, what do you mean? Like, you don't remember having that intensity. It's not that you don't remember. You just don't remember how you got there and come out of it. It's very fast. And what's one thing I love as well about ADHD is not all negative. And I agonize over how to reframe everything, because I've had a lot of good experiences in my life. And it's not just all doom and gloom. A lot of it was, you know, when I love, you know, something I do, if I love someone, I have a really good time. understanding all about the subject and the person. I've had this social justice element that a lot of ADHDers also have, where you need an emotional purpose to what you do and you need to make a difference. True that, the mind-wandering element that people tend to talk about ADHD also is coinciding with the seed of your imagination, where, you know, spontaneous thoughts can pop in your brain at any one time, especially when someone is talking. You're thinking about something else when they don't hold your attention. But these give rise to creativity, you know, thoughts that what ADHDers are known as, ideas machine. We churn out ideas like nothing else. It's just if you need the executors to bring your ideas far. But yeah, there are a lot of little traits, you know, that make up ADHD, and it's not all bad.